Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine being so damn talented that you're told to go to the ring and make somebody else look good, and even though you tried, instead you're the person that really shined. And sure, there's a paradox here in the sense that if that was your job, then you failed, really, but that's not how wrestling works. In fact, it rarely makes any sense. I'm Simon from What Culture, though. Please do subscribe. And this is 10 wrestlers who are supposed to get other wrestlers over, but got over themselves. Number 10, The Hurricane. Lance Storm was a great addition to the WWE roster when he came in after WCW's demise in 2001. He was just so damn solid. He was the type of guy you wanted on your team. He was never going to have a bad match. What he lacked, you could argue, however, was a character, and somebody who had that in spades was Shane Hurricane Helms. WWE teamed these guys up with the intention of ensuring Storm had something of note to do after a loss to Edge, but as the focus was on the superhero aspect, and Helms was so good at it, well, it took over. Fans decided they loved the Hurricane, and he was soon separated from the team and went to tear it up in the cruiserweight division. Hell, he'd even get a victory over The Rock, and we're still talking about him right now. Number 9, Lita. Do you remember S.A. Rios? If you do, you'll likely recall his bonkers Mexican entrance music, which was pure WWE at the time. He was also accompanied by a manager, though, that went by the name of Lita. This was the idea, too. Pairing Rios with an attractive woman would turn him into a bigger star, completely missing that they had one hell of a commodity in Lita. This was happening in 2000 on shows such as Heat and Metal, and as quickly became apparent, the future member of Team Extreme was getting far bigger reactions than her high-flying partner. It didn't take long before she left him behind to join up with the Hardy Boys, and from there she teamed with Matt and Jeff Hardy before becoming a tour de force in her own right. Number 8, the 1-2-3 Kid. Razor Ramon came into the WWF in late 1992 with all the momentum in the world. He had been positioned as a top-tier dude who would often go against the likes of Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, and Mr. Perfect, and even though it's forgotten now, he had a feud against Bret the Hitman Hart for the world title. He was a bit lost following that, but that's when Sean Waltman, aka the 1-2-3 Kid, popped into his life. Everyone thought this was nothing but a guy for Razor to destroy on the 17th of May 1993 Raw, but as soon as he got a surprise win, that was that. Fans loved him. Eventually, Ramon would almost become a mentor to 1-2-3, and behind the scenes, Vince McMahon was properly taken with the guy. This led to him being offered a full-time deal, and there aren't too many wrestlers from this era who can say that. Enhancement talents are part of the roster in the blink of an eye. He was only meant to throw himself around for Scott Hall, and look at the flipping legacy he's left now, and as for Mr. Waltman, he's about to come back to the ring to sign off for good. Number 7, Crash Holly. You could probably argue this one, but I don't think Crash Holly was paired with Bob Holly to become a star. I think this happened so Bob would have someone to slap around as and when he saw fit. This often happened too, but Crash sold his character so well and soon became tied up in the 24/7 hardcore scene that he basically owned for a while, that he was a lower card sensation. Little Holly was without a doubt one of the most popular guys in the company at one point, especially when he would tell fans he weighed a legit 500 pounds. While this was going on too, Bob didn't have much going on, so yeah. Whatever Crash's original deal was, it went far further than expected. And look, once again, we're talking about him right now. Number 6, Farouk. When Farouk was first drafted into the WWF, he was meant to be one of the first victims for Ahmed Johnson. For some reason, Vince McMahon also made him a gladiator with a stupid helmet, and it got weirder because Sonny was his manager. It was as if this gimmick was just lying around on the floor and someone threw it at Ron Simmons. It wasn't good enough for the man. He knew this too, and by November, all this dumb garb was gone, and Farouk had become a super serious leader of the Nation of Domination. The feud with Johnson was still on the cards, cards, but throughout all of this, Farouk was such a badass that he got over huge. In fact, Simmons found so much momentum, he had a WWF title shot at the King of the Ring in 1997 against The Undertaker, and that summed it up. The powers that be had realized Ahmed Johnson wasn't going to work out, and it made far more sense to put their eggs in this basket instead. Just look at the career he had. Everybody take a pause and then go damn. Number 5, Daniel Bryan. We all know this one, 18 seconds that changed the world. It wasn't Sheamus' fault this went so badly in 2012 as he was just doing what he was told, but for whatever reason, WWE officials decided that the Irishman versus Daniel Bryan didn't need to be a real match. So Sheamus just bro-kicked his head off and won the World Heavyweight title almost instantly at WrestleMania 28. The idea was that we'd take Sheamus up to the next level, but all it did was start a swell of support for Bryan. It was also a way for fans to stick it to the WWE brass for the mismanagement, and it just turned into a takeover. The Yes Movement became a monster, and 2 years later, the fallout of it would see Daniel Bryan winning the main event of WrestleMania after beating Batista and Randy Orton. I'm sure the audience would have been behind him either way, but this one moment just made up the crowd's minds. Daniel Bryan was their guy, and they were gonna shout him all the way to the top. Number 4, The Miz. This one kind of worked both ways, but it was still an eye-opener. When NXT first started, the idea was for a rookie to be mentored by a pro, or in this case, The Miz teaching Daniel Bryan the ways of WWE. Given that Miz was such an asshole, he could berate Daniel Bryan, who could continue to be the lovable underdog. What wasn't in the script was that Miz would be so good in this role that he started to really find himself as a character, and his promos especially just started getting better and better. He also began to feel like an even bigger star, which is why later that year he not only won the Money in the Bank briefcase, but became the WWE champion. He was given somewhat of an opportunity, and my word, he smashed it. It didn't hurt Bryan at all, but it did help Miz, and if you were to describe this as and when he came out of the shadows, that would be more than fair. It's also a reason to go back and watch the first season of NXT 2, even though it is really, really weird. Number 3, Diesel. Shawn Michaels was the guy who spied Kevin Nash on WCW TV and told Vincent Kennedy McMahon, "You gotta hire him." HBK felt like he needed a heater or someone to give him that extra something as he forged out a singles career, and having a huge man in his corner wasn't the worst idea, especially as WWF was the land of the giants. It would allow Michaels to get wins over the bigger dudes, as the soon-to-be Diesel could just punch them in the face, leaving the pieces for Shawn, and as far as he saw it, it could also lead him to the main event picture. It's not exactly what happened. Michaels was on an upward curve anyway, but within 6 months, McMahon had fallen in love with Diesel and decided he needed to be fast rocketed to the moon. It was cemented during the 1994 Raw Rumble, and after that, Nash was seen as more than just a bodyguard. He was going to be a star in his own right. Within that year, he was the WWF champion and the number one babyface in the company. Sorry, Sean. Number 2, AJ Styles. 2016 was not a good year for Roman Reigns. It was nothing to do with him, but the scripts he were given and some of the circumstances he was put in was just asking the crowd to turn on him, and they did, this we know. Thankfully, we had a great plan to rectify it all, which was to put Roman in a feud with super worker AJ Styles. 5 years ago, AJ's run in the WWE was still brand new, so knowing we were going to get this was exciting, but it also didn't address the issue. Nobody thought Reigns was a bad wrestler. Fans just used him as a scapegoat for all the ills they saw the company falling into over and over again. Given he'd only just debuted too, Styles knew he had to hit this one out the park, and my word, he did it and then some, because that's just what he does. The two had excellent matches which were universally praised, but it also showed management that they had something with AJ in case somehow they didn't know already. Styles soon became a personal favorite of McMahon and won multiple titles along the way. The man can and has done it everywhere. Number 1, The Rock. By early 1998, nobody was chanting Die Rocky Die anymore. The Rock had become a star with huge potential, and his work as a bad guy was slowly winning people over. Even still, when he was placed in a feud with Ken Shamrock, the idea was to help the former UFC man get over, and then we'd return to the Great One in due course. Their matches at the Rumble, Mania, and King of the Ring just proved that a young Dwayne Johnson had something that anybody with any sense would jump on, and the fact he was having such good contests with Shamrock proved he had the chops to work with anybody. Both guys were still super raw at this stage, but you'd never have known it. WWE still wanted to use this as a jumping off platform for Ken to become a major player, but all it did was convince those in charge and the fans that maybe nobody should be sleeping on The Rock for much longer. Shamrock still had a great run, but you can't compare it to what the now Hollywood superstar did, and there's a reason for that, and it kind of starts around here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.